There was a farmer who had a farmhand, and his farmhand was getting to that dating age. But back then, instead of going on a date in a car and doing all that stuff and going to Taco Bell or wherever you go, he had to walk at night in the dark to get to his girlfriend's house. And so, just so all you know who haven't been back then, is you'd have to actually take a lantern, and it wasn't like battery powered. You have to pour in some fuel, and you'd have to fill it up and turn it over and then light it with a match, and then that fuel would be used to get all the way to his girlfriend's house and all the way back. One day, the farmer he worked for was pinching pennies and was kind of upset that he was kind of short on some funds, and so he went to the farmer and he said, "Listen, I'm not going to allow you to take my lantern with my fuel in anymore to go see your girlfriend. You're not allowed to do that. When I was your age, I used to walk in the dark from where I was to my girlfriend's house and back." And the farmhand looked at him and said, "Yeah, but look what you ended up with." Valentine's Day is on Tuesday, guys. But I tell you that story because walking in the darkness is not fun at all. Things that you don't ever imagine, just it's not a good thing to be in darkness. In fact, one of the things that I like to collect is flashlights, and I brought some of my favorite flashlights along today. I asked Brian to turn down the light so you can see the effect of them. This is one of my first really good camping flashlights that I got. I got this flashlight to go with me. It's waterproof, so when I drop it, you know, in the pond or do whatever I did, and I take it, even today I still take it camping with me because it's pretty bright and it works really well, and I want to show it to you. Here you go. This shows you that you should always try something before you bring it along. Actually, that was on purpose. The reason I brought this along is because today we're going to be talking about being simply light, the light of Jesus into our dark world. And here's the problem. The problem is that many times we think it's a really hard thing to do, and we try to work so hard to be good at it that we burn ourselves out and we don't even want to try anymore because it's just too hard to be light. We're just burned out. This is actually one of my new favorite ones. This is a headlamp. This is really cool. Wait, I got this to go hunting. For those of you who don't know, I hunt now. Actually, I just go out and sit in a tree stand because I really don't shoot anything. But to go hunting, you got to get up in the morning and get up real early and go out and get in your tree stand and do what you do. And I take this, and it has a couple of settings. The first one's very, very light. And so I just turn it on. It doesn't scare anything, and it helps me get wherever I go. This is the cool part about it. There's if it's semi-dark. There's if it's decent dark. This is if it's really dark. And this is if I want to scare the deer before I go into the woods. All right? Here's the thing with this lamp, though. It reminds me of the light being my own personal light. It's not God's light in my life. It's my light using God. In fact, because it's wherever I look, I see the light. It's where I look. It's not where God wants me to look. It's what I do that I see. And many times we can get God so personal into our lives that it's all about me. And it's actually really cool because in the dark, when you're walking through the woods, I can see tree limbs that have fallen over and I can step over them. And I can walk around the trees so I don't run into it. But as Christians, we can also use a light like this that God gives us to step around people who have fallen in the darkness and not share the light with them. And people who are frozen in fear, standing there, as opposed to giving them the light, we can see them and step around them and not help them at all. And it becomes a personal thing of a God thing. Let's see. Let's do this one. This is my newest one. It's not real big, but it's pretty cool. I keep this everywhere I go. If you're ever in the dark and you're standing next to me, say, "Rick, pull out your flashlight." And this is really cool. It's kind of good. I just keep it in a... Sorry, guys, I wear a fanny pack now with a bunch of stuff in, and it's in there, and a zip, and pull it out, ooh. And then you only go, you know, you're in the dark like once in your lifetime, but it's good to have. And I have it because it reminds me of those Christians who Christianity is a personal thing to them. It's just small enough to hide so nobody else has to see it. I don't really have to share the light of God because nobody else really needs what I have. And it's good enough for me, but I don't really want to give it to anybody else. And then this was one of my first big purchase flashlights. What do you think of this bad boy? I bought this a couple of years ago for a long time. This was one of my favorite flashlights. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty bright, too. Watch. I'm going to give you permission to turn around. Look, it'll go all the way to the back wall. Turn around. Go ahead. Look. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're allowed to turn around in church. It's all right. All right. There it is. It's pretty cool. This reminds me of all the money we spend to reach people across the seas. And it's a good thing. And one of the things I'm really proud of, Trinity Mary Lee, I'm picking on you again, is that we do so much with short-term mission trips and with reaching missionaries. In fact, Trinity actually gives over 10% of their income away to missionaries to reach people around the world. There's only one problem with this flashlight. Does anybody know what it is? If all we do is shine light over there, who's going to get light over here? Does that make sense? And here's the biggest problem with flashlights is if I have this flashlight and I go to give this flashlight to somebody else, what's the problem once I hand it to them? I'm in the dark. It just doesn't work. I need that back, thanks. It just doesn't work. And what I want you to understand today is that sharing the light of God is not that difficult. Sharing the light of God is not that hard. In fact, sharing the light of God is simply light. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that the lights be turned up and you turn with me to John chapter 9. I probably read John over 40 or 50 times in my lifetime. And this passage of scripture I was having reading in my quiet time one day, and there was a verse that just jumped off the page at me. I had never, ever seen it before. And even though I had probably read over it and I thought, oh yeah, whatever, that day it just caught my attention and it really brought to light, no pun intended, what God wanted from me in sharing his simple light with the rest of the world. John chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, you can just grab your program and it's right inside there on the insert. And we begin with verse 1. Jesus, he went along and found a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. I want to stop there for a second. I want you to listen to me. I want to disprove a very important theory to you. I want to disprove there is no such thing as Christian karma. Do anybody know what Christian karma is? Anybody know what karma is? Karma is, if I do something good, what am I going to get back? Help me out. Something good, right? But if I do something bad, there was a whole TV show on it on television. If I do something bad, what's going to happen? Bad. Guess what? There is no such thing as Christian karma. You can do all the good things you want in your life, and guess what's going to happen sometime? Bad things. It just happens that way, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it, and I want you to understand that when bad things happen, there are usually reasons for it. And Jesus says in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. Verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want you to stop and hear that. There is a conditional statement before Jesus said that he was the light of the world. I had never read that before. I had never seen that before. Jesus actually says, while I am still in the world, I am the light of the world. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Having said this, verse 6, having said this, he spit on the ground, ew. He made some mud, yuck, with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. Ah. Go, he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means, the word means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Praise God. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, is this the same man who was sitting and begged? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself said, I am the man. How then is your eyes open? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud. Luckily, he was blind. He didn't see how he made the mud. He made some mud. He put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked, and he responded he said, I don't know. This is a very dramatic moment where you can see the difference between somebody who is in darkness and somebody who has been brought into the light. It's that simple. The light of God shined into his life. It was kind of gross. Jesus spit, made mud, put it on his eyes, had him go wash. He healed him. Something amazing happened. And this guy, when they asked, how did this happen? He said, that man, Jesus, right? He said, that man, Jesus, did this. I don't know where he is. I don't know who he is yet. Later on, by the end of the chapter, he finds that out. But he says, that man, Jesus. I want you to understand that Jesus shines light into your everyday dark world, and many, many times we miss it. Last night, we had our Journey 53 celebration, and at the end of the celebration, we ended right when that snow squall came through, the roads got icy, it was just horrible. We went in, it was beautiful, it was 38 degrees, there was still a little snow on the trees, it was like, oh, this is nice, and we came out, we're like, the roads were icy, it was really horrible, and I drive a really good front-wheel drive van. In fact, if my front-wheel drive van has good tires on it, I will put it up against any four-wheel drive. It just does really well. And I want to let you know that I don't have good tires on it right now. So I want to also let you know that if you don't know where I live on a really big hill. And so I have never had a problem getting up to the top of my hill, but this was really scaring me because I was driving on roads that were pretty darn icy. My wife with her four-wheel drive car was sliding all over the place. And as I was driving off 73, I was saying, okay, Lord, I've never had a problem getting up this hill. You're going to help me get up this hill. We're going to be okay. We're going to get up this hill. And I came off of 73, and I made my turn, and I started at the first part of the hill. I got about halfway up the hill, and I realized that if I didn't turn off on the little bit of a flat road called Brookview Estates Road, whatever it's called, I would just be done. I'd be stuck there. The poor guy behind me was going to be stuck there. I was just going to be a mess. So I crawled onto Brookview Estates, and I went down and turned around. And I got a running start again, and I started up the next hill, and I was doing really well until I got about halfway up the hill. And as I got about halfway up the hill, my car started slowing down, but I was still moving, so I wasn't going to stop. And I was going, but I was slowing down, and I wasn't going to stop. But I was still moving, and I was still going, and I wasn't going to stop. And finally, when I got close to the top of the hill, there were these two girls who were walking down the hill as I'm slowly going up the hill. And to tell you how slow I was going, they walked past me, came back, walked up alongside of my car, and knocked on my window while I'm still moving up the hill. That's how slow I was going. And the one girl goes, can we help you? And I said, if you want to try to push, let's see if we can get to the top of this hill. And those two skinny little girls, and I mean they were skinny and small, got to the back of my van and started pushing. And I want to tell you, those two skinny little girls were probably the difference between me getting stuck on the hill and getting over the top of the hill. How many days in our lives do we get to the top of the hill and it's been a horrible, lousy, no good day, and we're just about ready to get stuck, and we're about ready to give up, and we're ready to go to all those bad habits that we've had before and all those things that we revert back to that we know God doesn't want us to, and Jesus is right behind us and he gives us that little push of light in our life and we get to the top. Wow. And we're more comfortable sometimes, instead of accepting and seeing that light, we're more comfortable sometimes ignoring it for the bad day we've had and living in the bad moments instead of the light that Jesus gave us. I don't know about you, I get like that. I'm like that. I'm just tired. And yet it was the light and the love of Jesus that gave me that little push to get over the top of the hill. I want to tell you, those two girls were so skinny, when they turned sideways, their nose looked like zippers, okay? They were just small little things, and that was just enough to push us over the top of the hill. And I got up there, and I went, thank you, Jesus, for just getting me up to the hill. I only had a thick little jacket on, which was my fault. I had nothing on my head, and I was just scared to death. If I got stuck, I'm going to drive up in that mini blizzard we had. And yet God, in his infinite grace, in that little bit through two little girls, pushed me up over the top of the hill and got me home. How many times does Jesus shine light into my life and I miss it because I'm not looking for it? I don't see it. I don't see it and I miss it. How many times does God show light into your life and it's just a pinhole of light and that's all you needed for that moment to get through and we miss it because we're too interested in holding on to all the bad things that might have happened? See, seeing the light sometimes is just opening your eyes onto what God's doing around you. To what God's doing around you. Because here's the deal. I want you to understand something. Jesus said, while I am still in the world, I am the light of the world. I want you to think about this for a moment. Follow me, please. Jesus came to earth, right? Little baby Christmas. Away in the manger, no crib. Right? We're there. Okay. Grew up 33 years, lived, died on the cross. Came back to life, right? Came back to life and then went to heaven to live with God. So where's Jesus? He's in heaven. So while he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But Jesus is no longer in the world, if my theology is correct. So who is the light of the world? Wait, I didn't hear that right. So Jesus was born, was the light of the world. Jesus went to be with God in heaven. And if he's in heaven and he was only the light of the world while he's in the world, who is the light of the world now? Still didn't hear that. Let me try that again. I'll do it a little slower this time. You ready? Jesus came to be a baby, lived 33 years, died on the cross, came back to life again, ascended into heaven. No longer, he was the light of the world while he was in the world, but Jesus is no longer in the world. So who is the light of the world? Hope you catch it this time.
We are.
And we are the light because his light shines in our lives in simple ways. The first thing you need to do is you need to see the light. The second thing you need to do is you need to feel the light. You need to experience it. You need to hold on to it. But this happened, Jesus said, so that God's work might be displayed in this man's life. I have a friend of mine here today. Is he out there? Where is he? Come on up here. His name is Mr. Paul Connolly. Mr. Paul, a couple of weeks ago when he was debating whether to join us in Journey 53, his biggest struggle was, how in the world can I share the light of Jesus with other people? I've never done this before. I don't know how to do this. In fact, to be honest, he said this to me. He was much more comfortable to be this. Christianity is my thing. It's my own personal thing. And something's changed in him, and he's got a great little story I want him to share with you about something that God did in his life that God is still doing, and he's used it in a way to shine a little light in a much bigger dark world.
I am not crazy. I have called Comcast, and I have now separated myself from the digital world. Exactly, Craig. That's the response I get whenever I tell people I have canceled my cable, and I could not be happier. First question is what, why, and who are you? My main response is I want to spend time with my family. I'm tired of coming home every day. Turning on the TV at 6 o'clock at night, going to bed at 10. I have a beautiful 4-year-old daughter and a newborn son. I kind of push my daughter to the side for a lot and watch the reruns over and over again. I could recite How I Met Your Mother better than anybody, I think. So I call up Comcast. I realize I'm paying $180 a month. There's definitely more that I could do with that money, give it to the church, help people out, than just watch TV mindlessly every day. I call Comcast up and I say, hey, I want to cancel my triple play. Lady on the phone, okay, I'm ready for this. I got my list of answers right here for you. Okay, we have better packages. We can help you save money. I replied back to her, if you can give me those 2 to 3 hours a night back, I'd appreciate that. No answer. There was no answer on that piece of paper for that question. So all she could do was say, okay, we'll do what we gotta do. So I told them I want my 5 local channels. I wanna be able to watch the news, I wanna be able to know what's going on around the world, but I don't need the fluff, I don't need FX, I don't need the USAs, I don't need the MTVs. I don't know what you guys watch, I'm old, sorry. So MTV was my thing. So we don't need that. So the lady canceled it, everything was going fine, and every day I'd lose 2 of my favorite channels, NBC and ABC in high definition. And I paid for the TV, I want a little bit of high def. I need something. So I'd keep losing the channels, and so I'd call Comcast, they'd reset it, we're terribly sorry about that. And this went on for 5 days. By the way, I didn't get to watch the Super Bowl in high def, that hurt. So we had the Comcast technician come out, and he said, well, you're losing NBC and ABC, right? We said, yes, we're losing those two channels. Well, there's a problem with the package that you guys have. There's a code issue within Comcast, and there's not enough people that have your limited basic cable for them to fix that problem. And let me show you. He, with my wife's permission, he upgraded our cable. We had all the channels that we had back again. By God, ABC and NBC came back to life. We had high def. I could see the zits on the pimples and the freckles on everybody's face again. So he asked my wife, do you want us to leave this on for you right now? She said, well, you know, my husband will come home from work in a while, so yeah, go ahead and leave that on for now. He went out to his van and he came back. Said, well, I talked to my boss. This is definitely our issue. So we're gonna leave this package up here for you. And we're gonna give you all those channels every month. It's just, you know, this part of Comcast. We're gonna take care of you from now on. So what I was paying $180 a month for, now I'm paying $70 a month. The extra is going to the church and I still have the channels. Now, I'm probably the world's worst Comcast customer. That's not what I wanted. I could care less about the channels. I don't want the channels. I don't want to be tempted with them. But it seems to be fit that we have those channels. Now, my daughter has no clue we have Disney Channel anymore, so please don't talk to her about that. But, you know, my purpose of my story up here for you guys is not to tell you guys how to get free cable, because personally, I don't want it. I won't watch it. It's been now 3 weeks, and I could care less about those channels. The time that I have with my daughter is more valuable than any TV rerun I could watch. My purpose for coming up here and telling you my story is because I wanted to share with you my story and my light and maybe help you out with your life. So thank you very much.
So every time Mr. Paul talks to people about this and tells the story, their question is, why? Why would you do this? Well, I do this because I want to spend time with my daughter and I want to give extra money to the church. Why would you do this? Because what did the man say when they asked who healed you? Because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did in my life. Because of what Jesus is doing and the miracles I'm seeing him do over and over and over again. Even if they're minuscule that I don't see them. There's a man who comes to our Tuesday morning Journey 53 Life to Life group. And he tells the story that he works in a very dark place. And the machine that he has to run for his job is very dirty. It's spewing dust and dirt all over the place and smoke. And it's just a really nasty place to work. And when I asked him this question this week, I said to him, so where have you seen the light of God come into your life? He said this, his exact words. He says, when I'm at my machine and I'm working, and Scott drives his golf cart down to say hi to me and check in on me, and we begin to talk about the Bible. This guy hasn't studied the Bible his whole life. He goes, we begin to talk about the Bible. I feel like there is a pinhole of light through the smog and the darkness and the depth of that darkness. And in that moment, I feel the shining of the light of God. So how does that work? Well, people have asked Scott, what has changed in Joe's life? And Scott says to them, well, you see, we've been listening to the scriptures on CD, and then we get together once a week and we talk football and hunting and fishing and about the Bible. And he's been coming with us and hanging with us, and he's loving it. But you know what? You know what? The guy who asked him the one day says, hey, how can I get in on that? Scott did nothing to pressure him, did nothing to push him, did nothing to beat him over the head with the Bible. The guy asked him, and so Scott said, I can get you a CD, and then you and I can get together and talk. So Scott forgot one night, and the next day he comes down in his golf cart, and the guy is standing there with his hand on his hips like, he's waiting for the scriptures so that he can listen to God's word. And he and Scott can talk about it. There is nothing Scott did to make that happen besides tell the story and feel the story and experience the story of God. But this is what we have to be careful of. The first thing we have to be careful of is that we don't stop the light. There's a little church in Maine. There was about 25 people who attend this church. And one Sunday morning, they had a freak happening. They had 10 visitors come to their church. First Sunday they've had visitors in years, and that Sunday God worked in a mighty way. All 10 of those people came to the altar and got saved that day. Praise God. It was just a marvelous thing. Everybody was pumped and excited. And so all 10 of those people went out that week and told their story to other people. And this is the cool part. And 15 people that week came to Christ. Praise God. So the church basically doubled in size. And the next Sunday, there was 25 people who were originally there, 25 new saved Christians, and there were 25 people who wanted to see what was going on. They were spectators. They heard great things were happening. See, when God's light starts shining, people want to know about it. And they were spectators. So the church tripled in size in 3 weeks, and God was working, and some of the 25 who were there just to be spectators were experiencing the love of God, and great things were happening in that service. And in one moment, a little old woman stood up in the back of the service and said, "Stop, Pastor, stop." And the pastor went, "Stop?" And she says, "Pastor, I believe that those first 10 people who came to the altar were saved. But those 15 people who got saved out in the world and didn't come to the altar, they're not saved." And in that moment, the light of God stopped shining in that church, and it took another 3 years before somebody else came to Christ. How many times do we limit the power of God and the light of God in the world? Do you remember the story from the Old Testament? The people of Israel were following Moses and his staff and the fire and the cloud, and they were doing all these good stuff, and they were following him around, and all of a sudden they ran out of water. Everybody was really thirsty. Everybody was, "Oh, I could use a drink. I wish I had a drink." And God says to Moses, "Take your staff." What did he tell him? "Hit the rock and water will flow." So he took the staff, he hit the rock, and water began to flow. And all the people of Israel went, "Whoa. Wow. God, you're amazing. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome." And so everybody sat there and saw the light of God come through the water and the refreshment and all those good things. And so everybody was happy, and they moved on, and all of a sudden they ran out of water again. Do you remember this? They ran out of water again. And this time God says to Moses, "Moses, this time I'm going to show my power even cooler. I want you to go talk to that rock." You remember this story? "I want you to go talk to that rock." Now, I don't know what made Moses more mad, whether it was the grumbly people or God really wanted to have him talk at rocks. "Well, they're going to think I'm an idiot. I'm talking to a rock." And he says to Moses, "Go up to that rock and talk to it." But Moses is so mad for some reason. I call it a man moment, where we get mad over the stupidest stuff. And instead of following God's rules, he walked up to that rock, he hit it again, and water flowed. And what do you think the people of Israel said? "I saw that before." Imagine how powerful it would have been if Moses would have walked up to that rock and said, "Water, flow." I think the people of Israel in that moment would have gone, "Whoa." How many times do we limit the power of God in our lives because he's doing really cool things, whether it's through friendships, whether it's through adults, whether it's through something, and we stop it? The other thing you got to be careful of with this is that you don't try to control the light. I can do this on my own. I don't need God's help. I can fix this on my own. Man, we're really good at this. I can take care of that. I can do that. I've gotten to the part, men, where it just gets to a point that I can't do that. I can't. There are things that I just can't do in my life. There are times where I just can't stand on my own. There are times where now I use text messaging, where I will text message. I have 7 people who I text message, and I'll just text. Am I right, Mr. Doug? You're one of them. I'll just text message, and I'll go, "Pray for me. I need your help. I need God's help. Pray for me." It's that simple. And God's light will shine through in that moment and help me, because I'm tired of trying to control it myself, and I want to let God be God. And by the way, just so you don't pick on only men here, women are great controllers too. Sometimes you just got to get your hands off of it and let God be God, and you need to feel the light. Letting God do his thing and then joining him where he's doing it. Do you got it? Seeing what God is doing and then going to that spot and joining him in that moment. Seeing where the light's shining and then going to help that person and share the story. Because you not only see the light, you not only feel the light, but the last thing you need to do is you need to share the light. When they asked the man who healed him, what did he say? He said, "Jesus." He didn't even know that Jesus was who he said he was. And yet he said, "Jesus," and all he did was simply simply take the simple story of what was going on in his life and he shared it. And by doing that, he took the light that Jesus was while he was in the world and he gave it to somebody else. I don't know where this man's boldness come. Here's something you need to do. Go home, read the rest of the chapter. How he, this man, stood up in front of the religious leaders who were beating him down with their words, and yet all he said to them was, hey, listen, I don't get it either. The man put some mud on my eyes. I washed. He has to be somebody special. But you know what? All he did was take that light in his simple way and share it. Because the light of God is simple. If we would just take time to think about the way God has taken care of us, and then when people ask us to share those stories and tell those stories, and then they ask why, and then they ask who, and we say Jesus, it's that simple. It's simply light. Too many Christians make it much more complicated. And then when they get burned out and give up, they don't realize that it's simple. They don't get that it's simple. It's just telling people the story of what God's doing in your world. That's simple. And they ask, and then you tell them. In a minute, we're going to watch a video. After the video is done playing, I'm going to ask you this simple question. If Jesus is no longer the light of the world and we're supposed to be the light of the world, do you really want to be that light? Let me ask that question again. If Jesus was the light of the world and now we're supposed to be the light of the world, do you want to be that light? If you want to be that light, when the video is over, I'm going to come up, I'm going to light my candle. Girls, you can blow out your candles now, just for a second. And if you want to be the light, I want you to make a commitment today by coming front. I want you to grab your candle, grab a candle, light it, and then head back to where you sit, because it's taking the light of God to where you live. And say, I want to be the light of the world. I want to be the light of the world.